When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were saying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how it is that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders in their own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked each other, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, they've had too much wine. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Sylvia. Brilliantly read. Apologies if you can't see me. I hope you can hear me. Could do, but I need the water. Sorry, causing such havoc, aren't I?
Oh, that side, sorry.
There you go.
Thank you. I don't mind a coffee if there's one going. Wow. You know, I've been away for a few days. I went up to Yorkshire to visit my brother and his family. But I realised that lots has happened here while I've been gone. Because when I went, Jesus was still on earth. He was still revealing himself after being raised from the dead. He was, you know, meeting up with his disciples in different places. And then, while I was away, he went back to heaven, just like that. He ascended. Now, I gather that it was celebrated very well here. Even had a visit from Bishop Michael. Brilliant, brilliant. And last week, Jude continued the teaching and the great commandment. And today is Pentecost Sunday. I'm very glad to be back in time for that, obviously. When I was a child, and some of you will remember, I'm sure, it was always known as Whit Sunday rather than Pentecost Sunday. Well, maybe at the church it was Pentecost. Didn't go then. But we had Whitsun holiday from school. And for a bit of interesting trivia, I can tell you where the name Whitsun comes from. It was White Sunday. It was the day traditionally when people got baptized wearing white. So it became known as White Sunday, abbreviated to Whit Sunday, Whitsun. So there you go. You really needed to know that, didn't you? Yeah. Anyway, the theme of my talk today is, in fact, the last line of the Great Commission. The line that says, "And I am with you always, to the very end of the age." So this is the Great Commission that we all now know by heart. Let's read it together. "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." So how could Jesus be with us always? The only way he could be with us always was to ascend back to heaven and to send his Holy Spirit in his place. And his Holy Spirit has the capacity to be with each and every one of us until the end of the age. So I will be exploring this theme of being with us to the very end through the lens of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit comes to the disciples. Now, because we like a little bit of alliteration in our sermons, I'm going to talk about the place, the power, and the purpose of Pentecost. The place. Now, many New Testament happenings, events, either have a parallel or are prophesied in the Old Testament. Now, before the Spirit came at Pentecost, there was a festival of Pentecost, and it was a Jewish festival celebrating the first fruits of the harvest. And it happened 50 days after the Passover. When the Holy Spirit descended and came during that festival, the Christians adopted the name, and we now know it as the festival for celebrating the coming of the Holy Spirit, 50 days after the Passover. Just as 50 days after the very first Passover, which we can read about in Exodus, Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the law of God written on the tablets of stone. And many scholars see this as a parallel. In the Old Testament, Moses had gone up the mountain to meet with God and came back down with the written law. In the New Testament, the Holy Spirit, Jesus ascends into heaven to the Father, but the Holy Spirit comes down to write that law upon our hearts. Moses brought the old covenant. The Holy Spirit brings the new covenant, both happening on the 50th day after the Passover. that is Pentecost, derived from the Greek word Pentecoste, meaning 50th. So there you've got Moses with the written law, and you've got the Spirit descending with the living law of God. The Holy Spirit, So this is the place in terms of history and time of the coming of the Spirit. Now, for the physical place, we have the disciples meeting together, waiting in Jerusalem as commanded by Jesus. Great sense of unity amongst them, approximately 120 people. They had no idea how long they would be waiting, but they believed that Jesus would be true to his promise. On one occasion, before Jesus ascended, he said to the disciples, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." A few days. The disciples expected to wait for a few days. I guess people came and went a bit during that time. They'd have shared meals together. There'd have been much prayer. It seems significant that they were all together in one place. The Holy Spirit already uniting people, bringing them together. And then we have the power. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Tom Wright, who is a Bible scholar, says, and he says this just as well as I might say it, so I thought I'd use his words rather than try and rephrase it. Tom Wright says, "The wind and the fire are wild, untamable forces, and the experience of the wind rushing through the house with a great roar and the fire coming to rest on each person present must have been both terrifying and exhilarating." I have only once been on a roller coaster at a theme park, and that was both terrifying and exhilarating. For me, the terror was the greater. That's why I've only ever been on one once. Hopefully, it's not with the Holy Spirit. The exhilaration is greater. Now, along with the wind and the fire came the tongues. The tongues given here appear to be those of known languages, but unknown to the speakers. It's a phenomenon known as xenoglossy. So if I suddenly start speaking Chinese, you'll know that must be a gift of the Holy Spirit, because the only words I know in Chinese are ni hao. And further on in Acts 2, Sylvia read to us the listeners' amazement as they hear their own languages spoken. Now, they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. utterly amazed. They asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? How do they know our language?" And Sylvia went on to very capably list all the different places that people came from and the different languages that might have been involved. Sip of water. Now, over the years, I have been known to do a bit of street evangelism. Not always very willingly, but I've done it, and sometimes I actually enjoyed it. Anyway, I have a friend who was and still is a very gifted evangelist. She can literally walk up to anybody and lead them to the Lord. I don't know how she does. Well, I do know how she does it. Anyway, we were on the streets together one night, and she stopped a young man to talk to him. But the young man didn't speak English and replied in a foreign language. So my friend, never having done this before, replied in a tongue unknown to her, but which the young man understood. And there began a conversation which she didn't understand, but the young man did, and it all seemed to be carrying the blessing of God. And the conversation ended with her praying with the young man, not knowing what she was saying, but the young man was very moved and had tears in his eyes when he hugged her before going on his way. She and I looked at each other in utter amazement. But it was a very clear example of God-given xenoglossy. Another person known to me, I mean not personally, who has used tongues very powerfully in her ministry is a lady named Jackie Pullinger. Some of you may have heard of her, modern-day missionary who, aged 22, felt that God was calling her to Hong Kong. She went alone at 22. And found work as a primary school teacher in the notorious walled city of Kowloon. At the time of Jackie's arrival in Hong Kong, the dark, narrow alleyways of the walled city were ruled by brutal Chinese triads whose business was drug smuggling, prostitution, gambling, and every kind of vice imaginable. Neither the Chinese nor the British authorities were able to govern the walled city, and the police avoided it as much as possible. But, in the power of the Holy Spirit, this 22-year-old young lady moved in. There she is. And she knew very little Cantonese, and so often she resorted to tongues, speaking in tongues, to minister to the residents of the walled city. And even when she was fluent in Cantonese, she found tongues a really powerful prayer language, which led many of these addicts into freedom and the destitute into deliverance. She really had a remarkable ministry in Hong Kong. So you can see why tongues at Pentecost would have been very useful. I've belonged to a bilingual church before now, which means translating everything and made preaching sermons a very laborious process because someone had to translate everything I was saying. But at Pentecost, there wasn't any need for translators because the Holy Spirit did it all for them. And I'm sure that that was a very strong contributing factor to the conversion of 3,000 souls. Now, 3,000. There we've got four different languages. I don't know how many that Sylvia read out, but it was a lot more than four. And I can't speak any of these languages, but God gifted people the ability. Here we've got Chinese, Punjabi, Hebrew, and Farsi. How different they all are. The power of the Holy Spirit manifested by the sound and wind of wind, halos of fire, speaking in tongues, and we can only presume that this power brought such a great confidence to the disciples to preach the gospel, because on that day, 3,000 people were baptized and the church was born. Praise God. And then we're going to look at the purpose. There were many purposes of the Holy Spirit coming at Pentecost. It marked the birth of the church as a Spirit-filled and Spirit-led community. It brought empowerment for mission. The disciples received the power to go and get to work with the Great Commission that we've been hearing about over recent weeks. It brought boldness to previously timid disciples. But it meant that the presence of God was with mankind. We return to the verse we spoke about at the beginning of the talk. I am with you always to the very end of the age. And here in John, Jesus was saying very similar. I will ask the Father, he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, forever and ever and ever. It meant that the presence of God was with mankind. I think that the coming of the Spirit would have had, well, I know it would have had, and does to this day have, a profound effect on our relationship with God. He is no longer on the outside, but comes to dwell within us by his Holy Spirit, God in us. And who is this Spirit who will be with us until the end of the age? He comes as a helper and comforter to guide and sustain us. He comes as the counselor, bringing wisdom. He's a Spirit of peace, Spirit of grace and of truth. The Spirit who, yes, can come with power and noise and wild energy, but he can also come in tenderness and gentleness, working softly and secretly. He comes to heal, to bind up wounds, and to set the prisoner free. We are shortly going to have a time of worship, time when we can open our hearts and invite the Holy Spirit to come to us. Feel free to kneel, to open your hands, to lift your hands, whatever is comfortable for you as you ask the Holy Spirit to come. You are inviting the Spirit who is God with us until the very end of the age. Amen.